Zeus Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you for today's Friday edition of the show. Another weekend is upon us. We've got about an hour to go until most of us are off for the weekend. And I hope you have a great weekend planned for yourself. I'm hoping to take it easy over the next couple of days. But we've got plenty still to talk about on today's edition of Our Take. Plenty of guests coming up on today's show. And of course, this is the show where we have more in-depth conversations about things you've heard about on WSJM News as of late. Whether it's a local event that's just fun and happening over the weekend, or maybe it could be something going on in Lansing. We talk with our state lawmakers. We talk with local individuals who are in the know or who are making things happen. And coming up on today's show, we'll learn about what's going on at the Kranzel Arts Center. They are raising money. They're in the midst of a fundraising campaign, planning for the long-term future of Kranzel in St. Joe. That's a fine institution, so we'll catch up with Kranzel's Julia Gorley to learn about some of the things they're hoping to do there. Also today, we'll check in with Van Buren County Dispatch to learn about a new service they're offering. It's a text to 911 service. We'll hear about that, how it works, why they've added it. Later on the show, we will chat with an artist from Cass County. She recently painted a huge mural in downtown Dowagiac, and I talked with her about her 67-foot piece of artwork that tells the story of an interesting aspect of local Dowagiac history, namely the orphan train. We'll hear about this mural. They dedicated it, about 2 weeks ago, and so you can now go to Dowagiac and see it. We'll talk with the artist who made it happen. We'll also check in with the Niles Scream Park. They've been breaking some attendance records lately. We'll learn about that. Why so many people are going to the Niles Scream Park this year. You know, this is a perfect weekend to go there. Last weekend before Halloween. If you're looking for something to do this weekend, I recommend going down to Niles and checking out the Scream Park. And then finally today, we'll close out today's edition of the show, as we always do on Fridays, with a box office discussion. I'll have our man in the dark, Jacob Holmes, come in here. He and I will chat about the new films available at the cinema, if that's what you're inclined to do this weekend. We've got this fancy theater in Benton Harbor. Plenty of movies to see there always, and we'll learn about the new ones to close out today's edition of Our Take. And if you'd like to weigh in on something we discussed, just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. We'd love to hear from you. Right now, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll chat with the Kranzel Arts Center's Julia Gorley. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around and we'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. I am your host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. Right now for this segment of the show, I thought we'd learn about something that's been going on at the Kranzel Art Center in St. Joe. That's a fine place. You know, when I first moved here 10 years ago, one of the things that made me want to live here was Kranzel. I was walking around in downtown St. Joe, and I saw that. I saw the Curious Kids Museum. I saw Silver Beach. I saw artwork all over the place. And I thought, wow, this place is interesting. I'd like to live here. And so, anyway, Kranzel Art Center in St. Joe, they're raising money right now for a capital campaign. They're looking to plan for the long-term future. One thing they're trying to do is add an outdoor space out there near the statue of a hippo. And they're raising even more for a broader sort of effort. So I caught up with the Kranzel Art Center's Julia Gorley recently to hear about their fundraising campaign. Let's hear that conversation now. Okay, Julia, now earlier this month you announced a fundraising campaign, a crowdfunding campaign for Kranzel. Just to start off, tell us overall, what is it that you're trying to do there?
We are in the midst of a project called Sculpting Community that will comprehensively redevelop our grounds in front of the Kranzel Art Center to become a people-centered, active outdoor space. And it will include an event green, it'll include a patio place for people to gather, it will include a number of public sculptures, and in particular, it includes a new sculpture commission by Richard Howard Hunt. So the entire sculpting community project is a $1.7 million campaign. Mm-hmm. And we're actually, we've raised or have commitments at $1.3 right now. But this particular campaign that was launched is a campaign that's being led by Lotus the Hippopotamus. And mm-hmm. Lotus, of course, is the hippo sculpture that's on the Krasel Art Center's grounds. And this campaign strives to secure $50,000 in new gifts before December 1st. And when we secure those $50,000 in new gifts, they will be matched dollar for dollar by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, the First Source Bank Foundation, and the Frederick S. Upton Foundation.
Okay, so the $50,000 crowdfunding effort is just part of an overall bigger project effort.
Exactly, yes. Yep, so the entire sculpting community project is redeveloping our outdoor space. So this $50,000 campaign is built around the redevelopment of Lotus's grounds. The yard, of course, is her yard. She's the resident hippo in the yard, and she'll be a focal point for the grounds when they're redeveloped. So this is her effort to help raise funds to support the project.
And your goal here is to sort of alter Krasel in a way to make it, well, sort of more accessible. Is that correct?
We know that coming into an art museum or an art center is intimidating for some people that don't necessarily have that experience in their background. So the Sculpting Community Project aims to take the mission of the Krasel Art Center outdoors and onto the grounds, and hopefully then that is a space that people feel welcome to come into and to engage with the arts on their own terms and on their own time frame. So it'll be available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and completely free of charge. But it's really taking the mission of the Krasel Art Center outside into a public space.
All right, so you've raised, you have commitments of more than $1 million for the overall project you're talking about. And then meanwhile, there's this $50,000 crowdfunding campaign that could be matched with the state. Has Krasel ever crowdfunded before?
No, we've never done anything like this before. It is a whole new experience, trial by fire.
Great, and you know, crowdfunding seems to be the way to do it nowadays. It seems like everyone crowdfunds on the internet, and it works pretty well.
Yeah, you see it happening all the time, and it is a really nice way to get the message out into the everyday person's hands and get the everyday person, give them the opportunity to be invested in the project in an authentic and true way.
All right, and the crowdfunding effort has some high-profile support. State Rep. Kim Lasada has come out in favor of it. Have you found the community to be receptive of this new project?
We have. You know, the people that have heard about the project have been supportive. We've had contributions come in from individuals who are not necessarily people that we have had a direct connection with in the past, but there are certainly lots of community members here in St. Joe, Benton Harbor, Stevensville, who have enjoyed the Krasel Art Center, who have participated in programs, who might enjoy the public sculptures or the art fair. And we hope that this message makes it into their hands, and we hope that they'll choose to support the project. Giving levels starts at $10, and we felt like we really wanted to make the giving accessible to everybody in our community. So I haven't asked my 12-year-old son yet, but I have every intention of asking him for his support. And we feel like, you know, keeping the opening doors of the giving at an accessible level at $10 makes it really a campaign that everybody has the capacity and ability to support.
Okay. And if somebody wants to contribute to this effort, is there a place they can go, a simple place they can go?
Yep. The website is patronicity.com/Team Lotus. So that is patronicity.com/Team Lotus. Of course, they can also visit us here at the Art Center. We're open 7 days a week. We have information here. They can also visit our website, www.krasl.org. And our Facebook page has been very active with information and messages from Lotus this week as well.
Great. And if now this campaign runs through December 1st, so this isn't it's not going to end anytime soon.
That's right. It's not going to end anytime soon, but gosh, we sure do hope that we don't have to wait until that very, very last week of November to finalize our gifts. So we'll be actively working with the community over the next 6 weeks to make this happen.
All right. And if you do reach the $50,000 goal, will you keep going, keep raising funds beyond that?
Well, I certainly will. Yep, the campaign does not have to close. If we get to 50,000 by November 1st, the campaign will stay open and we'll continue to accept the contributions from the community and give people the opportunity to support the project.
All right, we're talking with Krasl Arts Center's Julia Gorley about their fundraising effort. Anything else you want to add, Julia?
Yeah, we'd welcome people to swing by the Krasl Arts Center and visit with Lotus the Hippopotamus. Come on into the Art Center to learn about the project if they haven't visited us recently. Like I said, we're open 7 days a week. We definitely want to be a place where everybody feels like they can be a part of it and feel like this project will certainly expand the horizons of our impact in the community. We do have some graphics that will show how the site will be modified, and people might enjoy looking at those as well.
All right. That was the Krasl Art Center's Julia Gorley talking with us. I chatted with her recently about this fundraising effort they've got going on. They're trying to raise money for various improvements, long-term improvements at the Krasl Arts Center. And a part of it is this crowdfunding campaign. They're asking people, just supporters, regular folks like you and me, to go and chip in a few dollars to this effort because $50,000 of it comes with an MEDC, a matching grant. Right now, they're at $28,000. As of right this moment, as I speak, they're at $28,855 of a $50,000 goal. They're doing this through December, so you can chip in and help them out. I like the Krasl. It's one of my favorite local attractions. We have many great attractions here in Michigan's Great Southwest, and that is certainly one that I support. News Talk 94.9 at WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Right now, I wanted to tell you about the latest auto insurance reform efforts underway in the State House. That's right. This is still happening. We've talked about it many times, and it's still going on. Yesterday, a State House committee, the State House Insurance Committee, they approved a package of bills to overhaul auto insurance. This package of bills, as we have heard, alters the catastrophic claims coverage, the medical benefits. Right now, you have to get unlimited coverage, right? And so a lot of state lawmakers say that's why auto insurance in Michigan is so expensive. So this plan in the State House would give you the option of either taking a unlimited medical benefits as you have right now, or you could sign up for an insurance policy that comes with a $500,000 cap on that or a $250,000 cap on that. And this plan passed the State House Insurance Committee yesterday. The committee's chair, State Representative Lena Thies, told us a little more about why this is necessary.
This is the only area of their life where we mandate that you buy unlimited lifetime medical benefits. It doesn't make sense that we pick this particular sliver of life in order for the state to impose what we think is best for you. The people of Michigan are very, very smart. They can make those decisions for themselves.
Another Republican representative on this committee is State Representative Kurt Vanderwall. And after this plan passed the committee yesterday, he said that was a big step.
It is significant. It gives us an opportunity to bring this bill to the floor, work on a few more issues that we can bring true savings to the auto drivers or automobile drivers back in my district and throughout the state.
Now, of course, there are drawbacks of this plan. If you wind up with a serious injury in a car crash and you only have $250,000 or $500,000 worth of coverage there for the catastrophic injuries, well, that's going to run out pretty quickly, but State Rep Kurt Vanderwall says, hey, this is all about giving people choices.
Every time I'm out anywhere, somebody says you've got to do something about my auto insurance costs. And this gives us an opportunity, as I said before, to work through the details and really give true savings to those individuals that are out there. I'm excited about it.
He spoke with Michigan News Network all about this plan that has passed the House committee. It now goes to the full State House. Even if it passes the State House, there's by no means any guarantee of what might happen over in the State Senate, though. Because in the State Senate, that idea of scaling back the catastrophic coverage hasn't sat so well with the leader over there. And the plan didn't even pass unanimously in the committee yesterday in the State House. It passed on a 9-5-2 vote. No Democrats backed it. So we'll see if this ends up happening. But at least in the State House, they are moving forward this auto insurance reform package, and we'll stay tuned to find out what happens next. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Right now, we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will chat with a representative of Central Dispatch in Van Buren County to learn about the latest service they offer up there. And if you'd like to weigh in on something we discuss, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's ourtake@wsjm.com. Time for a break. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. I am your host today. Right now, I thought we would check in with Van Buren County Central Dispatch. Last week, they announced the implementation of a new service. They now have a text to 911 service. It'll work anywhere in Van Buren County. It's been tested for a few months before they finally launched it. You can text 911 in case you can't call 911. So our own Michael Arney, he caught up with Tim McGee of Van Buren County Central Dispatch. Let's hear that conversation.
All right, Tim. Obviously, Van Buren County now one of the latest to launch the text to 911 service. What all was involved in getting this done? I mean, because you know we're finally getting, you know, for the most part, the technology caught up to date with how a lot of people communicate.
That's correct. This project was started here in Van Buren County back in late 2015. We changed equipment, and in April of this year was installed, and then, of course, there was a process to wait for the cell phone carriers to, in essence, flip the switch. And so now we're full text to 911.
And, you know, a couple of things to keep in mind, some important things here with this. If you want to go over a couple of these points, obviously, people need to let them know in the text where they need the help. And two, you can't send photos and videos, correct?
That is correct. We are partially IP-based, if you will. It's called Next Generation 911. However, we are not able to take tech or video and still pictures. We can take text, and of course, our mantra is call if you can, text if you can't. We certainly want to call over the text if possible, but there are certainly situations where people are not able to call, can only text. It takes a little less data to text and get that to the center.
Sure. Now, when this text comes in, does it go to a phone? Does it go to a computer? How does it work on your end, if you can give a little bit of information about that?
It shows up on one of our computer screens. We have an audible sound that tells us it's actually a text coming in. We use a program called Texty. That comes up on the dispatcher's screen, and they can then conduct the text session back and forth with the caller.
Okay, yes, there will be times then that dispatch will be responding via text message as well then.
That's correct.
Okay. About how many, do you know at this point how many counties in Michigan are utilizing this system?
I don't have those numbers right offhand. Okay. I have to check with the state 911 office. They could tell us for sure how many counties, but we're slowly moving forward with each county and each dispatch center.
And was this extra added cost to get this done? And if so, was this how is that taken care of?
It was. This project in Van Buren County was budgeted over the course of several years, and so we were able to take care of that in this current or the past fiscal year was April of 2017.
Okay. And have you had any texts come in yet to 911?
We have, actually. The transition, the go-live, was back in April, and over the course of that time, we've had several that we have resolved, if you will. Fascinating enough, we also use that, have been able to do outbound texting since we went live, and have been able to resolve what we call abandoned 911 calls. Someone calls and hangs up, or pocket dials. Oftentimes, people will answer the text versus answer a phone when we call them back. It's been a good thing for us.
All right, that was Tim McGee and Michael Arney. Tim works for Van Buren County Central Dispatch. He was talking with Mike last week about the new text to 911 service they have, latest county. You can send a text message to 911 if you are in need of help instead of having a call. You know, there could be some reason why you can't really speak at the moment, but you could send them a text. And I know everyone loves to text message these days. It's the preferred method of communication, I guess. So that's something they offer now in Van Buren County. You can send a text message to 911. If you're in need, I thought it was interesting to learn about that new service. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Right now, I wanted to catch up with an artist. It's a Cass County artist. Her name is Ruth Andrews. She recently painted a mural in downtown Dowagiac. It's 67 feet long along Pennsylvania Avenue. and it remembers the Orphan Train. The Orphan Train was a network set up in the 1800s that found homes for orphans all over the West, orphans from New York City. So these kids, these orphans in New York, they literally would be loaded up onto trains or sometimes boats and sent out to the Midwest and farther out west. And Dowagiac was a place where many of them wound up. So a couple of weeks ago, they dedicated this new mural downtown as part of a sort of a weekend festival they were doing. And it's now there, and you can see it. And it tells the story of the Orphan Train. I thought this was interesting, and I caught up with the artist behind it, Ruth Andrews, to learn more. Let's hear that conversation now. All right, Ruth, you've made this new mural in Dowagiac remembering the Orphan Train. Now, is the Orphan Train something with which you were familiar prior to starting the project? Because I never heard of it until this mural was announced.
I volunteer with Michigan History Day, and my team had chosen the Orphan Train to do a project about, and they have to research their project. So that's how I learned a lot about the Orphan Train, was through the research that we did to develop their Michigan History Day project. And that's so somewhere in all that year, I did get the idea that it would be fun to do a mural project and talk to Steve Arsenault at the museum, who I'd worked with before. And Steve really liked the idea, but he was not gung-ho, because sometimes people glorify the Orphan Train and make it a wonderful thing when it wasn't wonderful for all the kids that rode it. So he was concerned that, you know, if we do it, we're going to do it right. And so that's what we've tried to do.
Okay, so your mural depicts the Orphan Train, and it goes through different phases. Tell us exactly how the mural is set up.
Well, I went at it from the kids' point of view. I started in New York City with the very grim conditions for children who were living in a kind of an Oliver Twist world. They were called street Arabs, and they didn't have much of a future at all. You know, they were living on the streets or in a tenement, and there was disease and lack of hygiene, and certainly they had to hustle money and food however they could. So the police and they were enemies. So it was not good. Girls were taken advantage of. It was pretty bad.
Okay, so the first panel of the mural depicts that.
Yeah, and part of what it depicts is the symbolic cruelty in the first what I call as panel of the New York scene. There's a cat walking down the street with a mouse in its mouth. And so without having to try and depict everything, I can say, you know, this is a cruel world, and the kids were exposed to all of it.
And the mural itself sort of chronicles their journey. It gets increasingly positive.
Yes, it does end on a happy note. In the second panel, we see them preparing for the journey, and we can see the looks on their faces and how they, you know, were feeling a lot of different things. They were certainly hopeful and excited, but they were also anxious and, you know, wistful, wondering. The cruelest thing that happened to a lot of them was they were separated from their siblings. So I tried to put those relationships in there. There's some, you know, kids that are lined up a little closer together, maybe touching each other. I thought of them as siblings, and they are probably going to be separated because, you know, most families would not take a sibling group. They would just take a child.
So we see their journey, and the mural also depicts their arrival in Dowagiac.
The very last scene, well, I'll tell you the third scene first. The third one is about the distance that they traveled and their means of transportation. So it has a steam train, and it has a steamboat, because they rode two boats and two trains to get to Dowagiac. And they also, there's a cameo of Charles Loring Brace, who is the man who at the age of 26 conceived this whole idea and created a foundation and raised funds and made it happen. And then in the last scene, that's the happy ending, where we see them playing on a school playground, and they're obviously going to school, and one of the conditions was that they go to church and Sunday school, but they're having fun, you know, they're playing with friends, and they are individual looking, they're wearing, you know, nice clothes, and it's a little, and the little symbol there is there's a bird in flight that's taking a worm to the babies in the nest. So a little bit of a happier symbology there.
Okay, so the mural in downtown Dowagiac, four panels showing different parts of the journey for these kids on the orphan train. It's 67 feet long, Ruth. Did you have some help making this, or did you do it yourself?
I had a lot of help. We opened it up to volunteers who wanted to help paint, and I got a lot of people who just wanted to be part of the whole experience, and I also got some artists who did some excellent work, their work really stands out. So it was great to work with quite a variety of people.
All right, so this mural in downtown Dowagiac depicting the orphan train, it was dedicated a couple of weeks ago. How does it feel to complete a project like this?
It's bittersweet. It's, I got so close to it over the summer. It's my creation, so it's kind of like seeing a something that you created grow up and become independent and go off on its own. It's public art, so it now has a life of its own. But I am glad that I don't constantly have paint in my hair anymore. So, bittersweet, I'd say.
And city officials have been supportive of the project. They've been encouraging, obviously.
Yes. I think, I wasn't able to show them a whole lot right at the start, so they had to kind of trust me, but they did. I was very thrilled that they were able to do that, and it's done a lot for that wall. That was just an ugly wall, and now it tells an important story. So I think they've seen potential, and probably another mural will spring up in Dowagiac before too long.
Okay, that was Ruth Andrews. She is the artist behind this mural in downtown Dowagiac that depicts the orphan train. Interesting story there about local history and a fine piece of artwork that she was able to do. We ended there with her saying, hey, you never know, maybe this will lead to more murals, more works of public art around the city of Dowagiac. And that would indeed be a nice thing to see. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, this is Our Take. We're going to take a quick break right now. We're getting close to the end of today's show. One more segment to go. Next segment after a break, we'll hear from the Niles Scream Park about their attendance this year. They've broken some attendance records this year. We'll learn about one of them coming up in the next segment. And then we'll end the show with a discussion of the weekend cinema options. If you'd like to weigh in on something we've discussed, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's ourtake at wsjm.com. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 at WSJM. You're listening to Our Take, Friday edition of the show. We're almost done. We're almost out of here to go home for the weekend. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. So far in today's show, we caught up with the Krasnell Arts Center to learn about their ongoing fundraising effort. You can contribute. Just Google Krasnell WSJM. You should be able to find a link that way. We also checked in with Van Buren County Dispatch to learn about their new text to 911 service. Last segment, we talked with a local artist, an artist out of Cass County, who painted this mural in downtown Dowagiac depicting an aspect of local history. That was an interesting conversation. And right now, as we approach the end of the show, I thought we would check in with the Niles Scream Park. You know, this is the perfect weekend for you to head down to Niles for the Scream Park. I mean, Halloween is next week. You're running out of time. And they broke some attendance records this year. One in particular, they had their highest attendance ever on a Friday this year. It happened on Friday the 13th. That's quite fitting. Our own Michael Arney caught up with the Niles Scream Park's Christina Raybergen to learn more about this. Let's hear that conversation.
All right, Christina, obviously Friday the 13th, a very lucky day for the Niles Scream Park. Tell us a little bit about the fact you guys set a new Friday attendance record.
We did. Friday was really busy. People were excited. Lots of people in the attractions, on the midway. And I don't know if they maybe guessed, we did a few special things for Friday the 13th, which is sort of like a holiday to people like us.
Absolutely. Now, what was the previous record, and what's the new Friday record?
Sure. Previously, on a Friday, it was just under 7,900, and that's the number of tickets to interior attractions. And then this year, we were several hundred higher at almost 8,300.
Obviously, we had some not great weather over the weekend as well, but overall, things are going well, I'm assuming.
Yes, the season has been popular. People are coming out, except, as you say, when the weather's not so good, it does scare a few people away.
What sort of feedback are you guys hearing from people that go through it this year? Because, you know, it looks like every year you just get scarier and scarier.
We do. Yeah, so as you say, we change up the attractions, so people are really excited about the Niles Haunted House, the feature attraction with its movie themes. And the other haunted houses, Possessed and Incarcerated, they're really enjoying the decorations, the special effects, and the themes of the rooms. What really added to the scariness this year was our new attraction, though, called Hooded. So people have to go through alone. You can't have your friends to hide behind. And literally, as part of the show, you have a hood put over your head so you cannot see what's coming at all.
Ooh. I'm going to skip that one. And you're open now through early November, so a couple more weeks, right?
That's right. So the next two weekends in October, of course, we're open on Halloween night, Tuesday, October 31st. And then after Halloween in November, the first weekend, Friday and Saturday, we have the blackout event. So that's where we have the attractions open, but the lights are off. So it's an extra challenge for people.
All right. That was the Niles Scream Park's Christina Rayburg and the secretary over there talking with our own Michael Arney about the fact that they broke their all-time Friday attendance record on, of course, Friday the 13th. A couple of weeks ago here. And the Niles Scream Park, they're not going to be open much longer here for this year. You're running out of time to check it out. And don't forget, Halloween is next Tuesday. This is the perfect weekend for you to go down to the Niles Scream Park. That's what I recommend. News Talk 94.9 WSJM right now to close out today's edition of the show and this week's editions of The Hour Takes. As always, because it's Friday, I thought I would welcome our own man in the dark, Jacob Holmes, in here. He's our local, our in-house movie expert. He sees all the blockbusters. Jacob and I both love to go to the movies, so we're going to talk about what's coming out at the box office, this being Friday. Jacob, come on in. All right, Jacob, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me again, as always.
All right, so it's Friday. That means a new movie's out at the box office, and we've got Celebration Cinema right here in Benton Harbor, and there's other great local theaters. So what is new this weekend at the movies?
Well, this weekend, just in time for Halloween, we've got a new, I don't know if you want to call him a horror movie, but it's a Jigsaw. It's a soft reboot of the Saw franchise. The last movie in the series was, 7 years ago?
Yeah, it used to be a new Saw movie would come out every Halloween.
Right, from 2004 to 2010.
Right. So they're back.
Yeah, they're back. I've never seen any of these movies.
I saw the first one.
I was a little young for the series when it came out, and I just never had interest in it. And I don't really have interest in this new one. It sounds exactly the same as the old movies.
Right. I liked the first Saw film, and then it seemed like, in the first movie, the killer, Jigsaw's
name?
Yeah. The killer was supposed to be dying from cancer, but he kept coming back for like 9 more films. I thought, when's this guy going to die? So is this a total reboot or a sequel?
I think it's a sequel. Like I said, it's a soft reboot.
Right.
It's the same movie for 7, now 8 movies.
So it's another one. You know, Halloween's next week, so here we go. We're doing this Saw thing again.
Maybe we'll get another yearly franchise again now that it used to be Saw. Then it gave way to Paranormal Activity. That right. became the yearly Halloween franchise. Then that died off. Mm-hmm. And now Saw's back, so maybe...
So we'll get Saw for like the next 8 years, and then
more. Somebody will reinvent the found footage genre, and we'll right. get more of that.
So that's your horror option, although It is still out.
Yeah, you still got that. And
is Happy Death Day still out?
Oh yeah, Happy Death Day is still out. That's still relatively recent.
I want to see that one. But what else is new this week?
We've got a new movie from director George Clooney, and it's Suburbicon, starring Matt Damon. This was actually written by the Coen brothers.
Okay.
So on paper, this sounds like a great film. It takes place in the 50s, kind of like the super the stereotypical nuclear family of the 50s.
Right.
But there's like a dark edge to it. There's like it examines like the dark underbelly of this family. lives in the society.
I get the impression, or the main character is Matt Damon.
Right.
I guess his wife is Julianne Moore.
Yes.
Oscar Isaac is in it.
Mm-hmm.
I get the impression he's a former mobster or something, or I don't know.
Yeah, he's got some dealings in crime. So it's supposed to be like a satire movie, sort of. I mean, that's what the Coen brothers do a lot of the time. So on paper, you got a great cast, you've got great team of writers, you've got George Clooney in the director's chair. But for some reason, this movie is getting really panned.
That's interesting.
By critics, and on Rotten Tomatoes, the audience score for this is like 26%. That's awful.
Really?
That is awful for an audience score. So I have no idea what the deal is with this movie. And I've read some reviews, and it's got its defenders.
Hmm.
So I guess it's just one of those movies that might not be appreciated now.
Well, it's maybe it's one of those films that the Coen brothers wrote and they thought this isn't good enough to actually bother making.
Well, they wrote it, and the story is they wrote the script in the 80s.
Okay.
And again, they're not directing it. Clooney took over directing for that. And there's another set of writers involved too. So
there is. Yeah. Well, Clooney's a co-writer on it.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, that's it's Suburbicon. It might be a funny, offbeat sort of violence.
Yeah.
Comedy.
If you're into Coen Brothers movies, which I am, I like Coen Brothers movies.
Oh, sure.
It might be worth checking out just to see what all the fuss is about.
Okay.
See if it really is deserving of all the bashing it's getting, or if it turns out, hey, it's actually not that bad.
All right. So we got that, and then there's a patriotic film.
Yes. Thank You for Your Service, which is the second movie in a row starring Miles Teller. And it starring as some sort, it's based on a true events movie.
Hmm,
and he's playing some sort of serviceman. Last week it was Only the Brave, and he was a firefighter in that movie. And this one, Thank You for Your Service, he's actually in the actual military.
Okay.
This movie takes play. This movie is about a group of soldiers coming home from the war, and just kind of struggling to adjust with. To adjust back to life at home.
Right. The synopsis on Celebration's website says, a group of U.S. soldiers returning from Iraq struggles to integrate back into family and civilian life.
It sounds very much like American Sniper, which I believe on the poster it said that this is from, like, the writer.
Well, these movies are usually pretty good. These true to life.
Right. And Miles Teller is a good actor, so I believe he can really pull something like that off. I have not heard a lot of promotion for this movie. I feel like there's not as much, with being from the writer of American Sniper and the way these kinds of movies always seem to do really well at the box office, and I've just not heard a whole lot about it.
You know, I think the more interesting thing about the box office right now isn't so much the good movies that are out, but just how many bafflingly bad films.
Oh my gosh.
Last week,
good Lord, Geostorm and The Snowman. I almost went to see one of those. I thought about it because I've heard Geostorm is just hilariously awful.
Yeah, and I have half a mind to go see The Snowman because I want to find out why it's so bad.
Oh yeah, again. Well, I hear the story on that is the director the director on the press junkets was saying, look, this movie's not good. He was bad mouthing his own movie before it even came out. Apparently the story is they didn't have enough money to shoot like 10-15% of the script.
Oh, great.
So it's basically an unfinished movie.
And then, so that's bad, and Geostorm is terrible.
I enjoy a good, trashy disaster movie. That's what kind of made me think, oh, maybe this might be fun to see, but I decided against it.
The Mountain Between Us is still playing.
I have not heard, I don't know a single person who's gone to see that movie.
And I've heard it's bad. The Emoji Movie is playing this weekend.
Oh, yeah, the Flix Family Film Festival. Don't do it.
And
I saw that movie. It's bad. Don't do it.
And don't forget the ultimate Halloween film, Tyler Perry's Boo 2, A Madea Halloween.
Hey, that was number one. They already made the money back on that movie.
All right. Well, you've got plenty of options this weekend at the box office.
I'm just holding out next week for Thor Ragnarok.
There you go. Thor's coming up. I can't wait for Justice League. Jacob, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
All right. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. That does it for today's edition of Our Take. I thank you for tuning in. I've been your host today. My name is Andrew Green. We should be back Monday, same time, same station. In the meantime, have a fantastic and very safe weekend.